On December 11, 2010, the Vancouver Canucks are retiring the jersey of their longest-serving captain, Marcus Naslund. Some people say this is a good idea. Some people, well, they don't so much agree. Today, on Pucked in the Head, we basically talk about that. She hitched a ride up. All right, it's that time again. Hi, Chris Withers.
Jason, good to be back as always.
Thanks for joining me on this soggy day.
Brutal out there, isn't it?
It's, what did you say earlier? It is actually raining cats and dogs?
It was, yeah. I've got several dents in my hood.
And blood spattered all over the windshield?
Raindrops that were actually in the form of large terriers.
All right. Well, better terriers than Doberman.
I suppose.
Pinschers. I believe they call them.
Okay.
So we're here to talk Marcus Naslund.
We are. He's going up into the rafters, or at least a banner with his name will be going up into the rafters. I think he's going to be staying on the ice.
Yes, Marcus Naslund, I believe, is going to stay at ice level. Only the third jersey to be so honored in Canucks history. So they're sending number 19 goes up for all eternity. Number 12, Stan Smeal, of course, was the first one that was ever...
That was ever retired. And then was it last year or the year before that number 16,
number
Linden
16, Trevor Linden. And so basically we've got the captain's club. The three longest serving captains. I, for some reason in my head, I had always thought that Stan Smeal was captain longer than anybody else, but Marcus Naslund was actually the longest serving captain in Canucks history.
He was. He took over, was it 1999? It would have been just after Messier left that they declared him captain, and he stayed that way until he left for the Rangers, and that was 2009.
So he had 8 years as captain, franchise record, numerous other franchise records this guy holds. Before we get into a little bit of like bio information and all that stuff, a lot of people are saying this is the wrong move by the Canucks. They're thinking that Marcus Naslund's jersey does not deserve to hang in the rafters.
There is a significant portion of people that feel that way.
What do you think?
I can see where they're coming from. He wasn't the lifelong Canuck that Stan Smeal was. He didn't have the kind of success, I think, that Trevor Linden had.
Success in what way?
Well, I mean, he had one great year with the Canucks, where he was just barely denied the goal-scoring title, the points title, and ended up winning the Lester Pearson Award, which is the MVP as chosen by the players.
Trevor Linden never scored 48 goals.
He did not.
And Stan Smeal certainly did not. They did not come anywhere close to 100 points. At the time, Marcus Naslund was only the third player to score 100 points in a Canucks jersey.
After Bure and McGillney. Yeah. Well, I'm waffling a little bit because I like that they're putting his jersey up in the rafters. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to being there. We're both going to that game.
We are going to be at that game. That's true.
But there is something indefinable about Naslund's career that makes me think he is somewhat lesser than Linden and Smeal. And I'm not sure how to put it into words.
Well, I think you actually put it into a non-word when you said indefinable.
Language is a malleable and evolving thing, and I will speak as I wish, and you will shut your mouth.
And I will mock you as I wish. Thank you very much. Let's take a look at Marcus Naslund, who was the heart and soul of the Vancouver Canucks. Now, whether you think the Canucks were heartless or soulless during that time, that's your choice. This guy was born in 1973 in, you want to try saying that? You want to say that?
I don't, but I'm going to. Örnsköldsvik?
Sure.
Okay.
Sweden, of course. Now, this is a very famous town in Sweden. It has produced a number of famous hockey players.
Well, four.
That's a number. Four is a number, is it not? At least it's a number. Your word
Peter
was not
Forsberg,
a word.
Peter Forsberg, Henrik Sedin, Daniel Sedin, and Marcus Naslund.
There are a couple of other folks from this little town, which, by the way, just in case anyone is interested, is a municipality in the Västernorrland County, Sweden, just under 30,000 people. As of 2005.
Isn't it curious how it's always the small towns that...
Tiny, tiny little town. And the ones that are listed on Wikipedia are Peter Forsberg, Marcus Naslund, Niklas Sundström, Victor Hedman, and Daniel and Henrik Sedin. Also, previous hockey stars, Anders Hedberg, who's a great player, Thomas Gradin, long-serving Canuck, Anders Kallur, were also either from there or played in the town for Modo. Thomas Greening actually played for Modo for a while. We've also got a famous cross-country skier, Magdalena Forsberg, no relation, and Niklas Aiden, who is a skip of the Swedish curling team at the recent Winter Olympics. So
fascinating.
Quite a few winter sports stars come from this tiny little town.
Mm-hmm.
So he was originally drafted 16th overall by Pittsburgh in the 1991 season. Played for about 2.5 years in Pittsburgh before he was traded to Vancouver for
Alek Stoyanov.
Nicely done.
Incidentally, Stoyanov was drafted well ahead of Naslund in the 90s.
Really?
He was 8 spots before Naslund.
Stoyanov was 8th overall? You kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
Doesn't he sell cars somewhere now?
After the trade,
yeah,
went on to play approximately 50 games for Pittsburgh, scored about 5 points, ended up as a career minor leaguer, and retired before he was 30.
And then sold cars.
I don't know what he does now.
So, once Marcus Naslund came to Vancouver, of course, well, he didn't really do much the first year.
Well, he didn't do much for the first 9 games. He played a total of 10 games in that first year.
Yep.
Scored 0 points through those first 9. And then the Canucks had to play Calgary with their playoff season on the line.
This was 95-96.
Yes. And Naslund comes out, gets the hat trick, his first points as a Canuck, and helps the Canucks qualify for the playoffs that year.
Now, although he scored 0 goals in 9 games, he actually didn't have a bad year that season. He scored 55 points in 76 games between the two clubs.
Right.
So he actually had a decent year in Pittsburgh. And frankly, I'm surprised Pittsburgh gave him up for Stoyanov, because Stoyanov hadn't shown any promise here.
I don't know what it was. I wish that the internet had been a bigger thing back then, because we could go back and take a look at some of the archives.
Well, I can tell you that I remember when they traded for Naslund, he had actually been nicknamed by the Pittsburgh media Mr. September. For 4 years in a row, he had an amazing training camp. And he basically stunk the place out starting in October.
Doesn't have quite the same ring to it that it does in baseball, does it?
No. But yeah, in his first year, he played 71 games for the Penguins, and he only got 11 points as a rookie, even though he had had quite an impressive training camp. And this pattern, although he did improve, this pattern continued for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
He would bring it together as a Canuck. He, in his career, played 1,117 games with Pittsburgh, Vancouver, and we won't talk about the New York Rangers. He scored 869 points in that time.
Mm-hmm.
Just 5 goals shy of 400 goals. 474 assists. That's, you know, 0.78 points per game. That's not too shabby.
No, it's reasonable.
For a 14-year career.
Right, here we go. He's the Canucks' all-time goal leader with 346, all-time point leader with 756, all-time hat trick leader with 10, tied with Tanti.
You don't even remember Tony Tanti, do you?
I do too. He's the all-time power play goal leader, game-winning goal leader, the longest tenured captain.
He is the only Canuck to have scored 2 4-goal games.
Really?
Yes. Because there are a number of Canucks going all the way back to Rosie Paymont, who scored four goals in one game. But Naslund's the only guy to do it twice in a Vancouver uniform.
Hmm. What is your favorite Naslund memory?
One that I have is 2004 in the first round of the playoffs against Calgary. Game 7. Vancouver was down by 1 goal with less than 30 seconds to play. And he basically willed the puck up the ice. He flew up the ice, up the wing, as though the Calgary players didn't even matter to him. He basically carried the whole team on his shoulders, got the puck to the crease. Kiprusov made the save as he drove the crease, but Matt Cook was there to put in the rebound with just 6 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
So that it went to Game 7 overtime. Now, the Canucks ended up losing in overtime. Alex Auld was in net because Dan Kluche had been injured.
Right.
Which, I mean, Kluche probably wouldn't have got us to a 7th game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was such a toad. But I don't like Dan Kluche. Never have.
Nice guy, though.
I don't even like him as a person.
That's just cold.
I bet he's a dink as a person.
I have a gap in my memory from that night. It still kind of disturbs me sometimes. I remember watching the game. I remember seeing Naslund sprint up the ice. I remember seeing Cook bang the rebound in. I remember that I was in my living room at that point. And then I remember being outside yelling. I don't remember how I got there.
Was there underwear involved at least? I hope. Pants?
I believe I was fully dressed.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Marcus Naslund just had some pretty amazing moments, and he was one of the few NHLers to keep a wooden stick for most of his career.
Yeah.
And he had a real sense of the game, an amazing sense of community, both in Vancouver and in Sweden. A real philanthropist, super humble guy. He didn't like talking about money. He didn't like talking about himself. He liked to talk about the people he was helping.
Yeah.
And he was a super guy. And I am very glad that he was in Vancouver all those years. I'm embarrassed at how brutally people talk about him and how much he was savaged by both the media and by fans in the city. I think he is one of the best Canucks to ever play the game.
He is always going to be looked at and judged based on the team that was around him.
But is it his fault that Dan Kluche was atrocious?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But you know, as well as anybody, that it's all going to fall on the captain's shoulders. That's why Luongo needed to get rid of the C. Naslund, for the entirety of his career in Vancouver, was the captain of a team that couldn't get past the second round. They were flashy, they were fun as hell to watch, and they'd get to the playoffs and they would get abused. There are a lot of Vancouver people who judge him based on the performance of the team.
And like I said, I'm embarrassed by that because all it shows is a lack of hockey knowledge. If these guys know hockey, they know that Marcus Naslund was a class player on the ice and a class act off it. To judge him because his goalie couldn't stop a beach ball in the last four games against the Detroit Red Wings one year is really, really sad. To judge him because his line mate crushed the spine of an opponent is very, very sad.
I don't know that that ever reflected on people's opinion of Naslund.
I really think it did.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he and Bertuzzi are tight and have been always. And why did Bertuzzi even do that to Seymour in the first place? It's because of the hit that Moore put on Naslund. Yeah.
The other big criticism that people had of Marcus Naslund is that he never found another level in the playoffs. You know, the great players, you always talk about this, is that they will step up their game.
But you know what? I see, again, a lot of people in Vancouver especially who claim to be hockey fans. They savage people who don't deserve it. Henrik and Daniel Sedin are point-a-game guys in the playoffs in their career. They are still brutalized by people when the Canucks lose in the second round of Chicago, even though Daniel and Henrik have put out a point-a-game. How is that even possible? Like, all you need to do is watch the game, and you realize that, you know what? Henrik and Daniel both got 2 points last night. If the Canucks lost, it's probably not their fault. Just saying. And when Marcus Naslund, over his 52 playoff games, scored 36 points. Now, it's not a point a game, but it's 0.7 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Is good enough to get your jersey retired.
Well, again, if you're just going to go by playoff success, does that mean that a guy like Daryl Sittler should not be in the Hall of Fame? Daryl Sittler never won a cup.
I don't know. Again, I'm in a difficult position here because I'm trying to play devil's advocate and explain the Canuck fan who doesn't think that Naslund should have his jersey.
Aha, and this is the problem, I think. These are Canuck fans, but they are not hockey fans. Anyone who is a fan of the game knows this guy's jersey is worth retiring. Anyone who is just a fan of the Canucks on nights that they win, honestly, should not be invited to the discussion.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I've got a trivia question for you, my friend.
Okay.
When Marcus Naslund first came to Vancouver in 1995-96, he did not wear number 19. What number did Marcus Naslund wear when he first became a Vancouver Canuck?
I think it was in the 20s. I'm going to say 26.
Well, you've got the first digit correct. I'll give you another hint. Some people have suggested that the most famous person to wear this number should be inducted into the Canucks Ring of Honor.
Interesting. Suppose it's not Jim Sandlak's old number 25.
Nope.
Or Sergio Momesso's old number 27.
Nope.
You're going to have to help me out here.
This particular famous Canuck also played for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I'm afraid you've got me, my friend.
He was known for the fisticuffs.
Ogic? 26?
No. And you already guessed 26 anyway.
Did I? Do tell.
When Marcus Naslund first came to the Vancouver Canucks, he, of course, wore number 22, which was made famous in Vancouver by none other than Dave Tiger Williams.
Ah.
He of the bloody knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I've heard many stories that he has some anger issues. And he actually, just when he plays pickup in North Vancouver, will occasionally get into a fight with another beer league guy and tries to take it out to the parking lot. Now, these are hearsay. I don't have any proof of this. If it is true, wow, what a jerk.
Do you think he still rides the stick after his goals?
You know what? I think he probably does. I have one thing that I'd like to say about the, very quickly, about the retirement and the Ring of Honor. I like the idea of the Ring of Honor. I think it's very cool. However, as a player, if I were a player, I would rather be in the Ring of Honor because there's that kick-ass painting of you on the wall. Have you seen those?
I did see Kirk McLean's, yeah.
Awesome. You look at the retirement banner, and all it is just a white square with a number on it.
But there's the added honor that nobody else will ever get to wear your number.
So, I want my picture. My picture in the Raptors, man.
That is spoken like somebody who's never had their jersey retired.
As opposed to you. Of course, Chris Withers, the big 00, has been retired in every NHL city.
That was uncalled for.
Thank you very much.
That was mean. You are a sleep-deprived little asshole.
Ouch. I think it was unnecessary to use that kind of language.
I don't.
Well, on that classy note... We're going to take our leave. Thank you for listening to episode number 19 of Pucked in the Head. My name is Jason Carrillo.
I'm Chris Withers.
And next time around, since we're talking about me being an a-hole, as you said, I have a new daughter. I'm not allowed to use bad words anymore. And since Chris is being a huge douchebag, next episode is going to honor the NHL douchebags. Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like a happy nap by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, where once it seemed so strange. Time for a construction crane, and I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stuntman, and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now, and once it seems so strange. Time for time for a change. I believe he sells cars, actually. I'm not even kidding.
Okay.
I actually think he sells cars. I'm not sure. You know what? New Jersey should bring him out of retirement. They could probably use him right now. Wow, that's a bad team.
It saddens me that Marty Brodeur has to play the twilight of his years.
Ilya Kovalchuk update. As of today, the $100 million man is on pace for 14 goals and 33 points this season. He's a minus 17, which means he's on pace for a minus 57 season.
Sorry,